Well, today we're going to continue in this series on the 23rd Psalm, the 23rd Psalm, Shepherd. If you go ahead and open up to Psalm 23. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. And here's what we want to look at today. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. For His name's sake. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. This is the seventh part in this series. And when David wrote this, leading me in the paths of righteousness. Well, one of the things about a shepherd is that the shepherd would lead the sheep to the different pastures. And sheep, as we've shared before, they're not the most brilliant creatures on earth. And they face a lot of challenges. That's why they're so dependent upon the shepherd being a good shepherd. One of the things that sheep will do is they'll follow the same paths over and over and over. How many of you have ever had a dog that you kept in a fenced backyard? And that dog will create a path around the perimeter of that fence. And I don't care what you do. It doesn't take long, just like a few months. And that dog is going to have all the grass dead along that fence, the perimeter. And that dog just keeps going around. And we used to have a dog. And I would look at this and I'm thinking, how in the world is that dog able to kill that much grass just by running in circles around the fence? But it does. And there's nothing you can do about it until you get rid of the dog. Then you can get your grass to grow back. Well, sheep are kind of like that, in that the shepherd will lead them over here to this pasture. Well, when the sheep get an idea in their head, that's just what they want to keep doing, over and over again. However, a smart shepherd is going to lead sheep to more than one pasture so that they don't overgraze in one area. How many of you know about crop rotation? One year you grow green beans, the next year maybe potatoes and then corn, and so that the ground has a chance to, you know, stay fertilized and healthy and so on and so forth. Well, it's the same way with the sheep and the pastures. And the sheep, you know, if left to themselves, they'll follow the same path, go into the same area of pasture, and basically contain themselves in that area. And they'll keep eating and eating until there's nothing to eat. Until it's just like barren land. But they'll keep going back. And the shepherd can stand by and watch this. And as the sheep keep following the same path, and I mean, we're not talking about, you know, a path that's, you know, 50, 60 feet wide. We're talking something that's very narrow, like the distance between the pews here or less. I mean, they'll just create ruts and all of this other. Well, you know, sheep, they're like any animal. You know, their bathroom habits are just very outdoorsy, if you know what I mean. So the path becomes littered. You understand what I'm saying? And it can become a very unhealthy environment. That's one of the reasons why the shepherd keeps taking them to different pastures so that they don't soil just one area and keep exposing themselves to what will eventually become a contaminated path. And so he has to look out for the new pastures and so on and so forth, and he takes them to different places so that they continually have new and fresh pastures, and so that the trails are new and fresh, and so that they're constantly giving the other pastures an opportunity to refresh themselves and so on and so forth. And the shepherd has to know this. He has to search out these new pastures. He has to establish the path or the trail to get to these pastures. He has to know the best way. The best way for the shepherd to get there might not be the best way for the sheep to get there. And so he has to find the best way for the sheep to get there, and so on and so forth. then he's got the responsibility of leading them, you know, to this one pasture over here for a week. Well, then next week we go over here to this pasture, and then the week after that we go to this pasture over here. And, you know, however the shepherd would want to do that. Well, that concept of new pastures and paths is a principle for the body of Christ, but especially a principle for a shepherd or a pastor who's going to be a 23rd Psalm shepherd. He's got a responsibility to do for the people in the church the same thing, spiritually, if you will, that the shepherd in the natural is doing for the animals. Look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I want to show you some things that the shepherd has a responsibility for doing. We're going to use a couple of little passages here for teaching purposes. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul writes and he says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk, and not with meat, for heretofore you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are carnal, ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying, strife, divisions, are ye not carnal, and walk as men?" So he says, look, I fed you with milk, not with meat. And you can't handle meat, even to this point. Not the kind of teaching that I'd like to give you. Which, you know, a little side journey here, that's an incredible revelation, because basically what that means is the rest of the book of 1 Corinthians is milk. And what's amazing is out of all the books of the Bible, one book that can create the most friction in churches is 1 Corinthians. We can even narrow it down to one specific chapter. And yet, from Paul's perspective, this entire book of 1 Corinthians is milk that even baby Christians should be able to comprehend. Well, he says, look, you guys can't handle the meat. Now, what do we have here for the sake of this teaching? We have sheep that have followed the same path to milk over and over and over and over and over. To the point that they've worn these ruts. And they've created this condition of strife and envy and all these problems in the church. And Paul says, you know what? You guys have some real issues. You've been feeding in the same pastures over and over, the same place over and over, the same trail, the same path over and over again. Now, what's that say about the people in charge here? What's that say about the whoever was pastoring? It says this person was failing. Or these people, if they had, you know, smaller groups and so forth, these people weren't doing their job. Well, let's look at another place. Look over in Hebrews chapter 5. And in Hebrews chapter 5, this is kind of similar, really, to what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians. But it says, verse 12, "For when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness." Now notice he says that in Psalms that he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. "Everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Well, what is it, verse 14, that they're using? Where it says, even those who by reason of use, they're using the word of righteousness. And by using the word of righteousness, their spiritual senses are attuned to what is good and evil. And the good and evil that he's talking about here in this passage is not sin and non-sin. The good and the evil he's talking about here, don't have time to teach this, you know, chapter and these couple of chapters here, but the good and the evil he's talking about is right and wrong teaching. Now he says, look, you know, you guys are stuck in a rut of milk. You should be beyond this. You should be at the place now to where not only can you tolerate meat, but you can teach meat. You can pass it along. But you've been eating in the same pasture over and over and over again. And notice where he says that you have need that one teach you again. Basically what these people did, They stopped going to any other pasture and they just kept digging the ruts. They were left to themselves, if you will. They didn't have 23rd Psalm shepherds that would lead them from pasture to pasture. And so they just continued going in the same place over and over again. All right, now what's the opposite of this? The opposite of this is a shepherd who knows that the people need more than just the same message over and over again. Now, I was raised in a church, and you know, we look back on it, and we like to joke how that all we ever heard was, you must be born again. That was the essence of our denomination. You must be born again. Well, that's not the only thing we heard every sermon. But that was the central theme of that denomination. Now, that's not a bad message. You guys, hey, if it weren't for that message, we wouldn't be here today now, would we? We need that message. But when that becomes the same trail and the same path leading to the same pasture over and over and over and over again, you know, you don't go very far beyond that. And you get to the place where that's what you're eating over and over again. And sometimes if people have been bad, they'll rededicate their lives over and over and over again. But he says, look, it needs to be more than just one path, and it's got to be more than just one pasture. And this is what a 23rd Psalm shepherd is supposed to be doing for the people in the church. Let's take it a little bit further. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to point something out that I've pointed out before, but it fits very well with this, what we're sharing here. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, it talks about here ministry callings, and that Jesus gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Now, what's interesting is that a lot of people don't seem to understand that the pastor is supposed to have a dual calling. He is supposed to be called to be a pastor and a teacher. Not all teachers are called to be pastors. Some teachers travel in their teaching ministry. Good example of that would be Gary Carpenter. But a pastor is also supposed to be a teacher. And I'll explain that in a little bit more detail here in just a moment. If a pastor is not a teacher, then that pastor is not a pastor. Because a pastor is supposed to be a teacher. Okay? Now, let's look at another verse to help to understand this a little bit further. In 1 Peter chapter 5. We'll just look at one verse instead of the whole passage. Kind of jump in the middle here of all of what Peter's writing. In verse 2 it says, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. And then he also says, verse 3, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being an example to the flock. So, I'm supposed to feed the flock. Now we understand he's not talking about hamburgers and milkshakes. Yeah, doggone. He's talking about feeding them the milk and the meat of the Word. This is what he's talking about. Now listen closely, guys. You cannot be a 23rd Psalm pastor if you are delivering to your flock a steady diet of feel-good sermons. You're not doing them any good. Because when you're feeding the flock, you're supposed to be feeding them from what's in this book. And if all you do is tell them, look, we got to be nice, we got to help people, we got to demonstrate the love of God and so forth. Well, that's true. We're not disputing that. But if that's all people hear, you know what they stay? They stay spiritual babes feeding in the same pasture and digging ruts on the same path over and over and over again. And I'm telling you right now, if that's all you know how to do, you're not called to be a pastor. Because when you see, now listen, when you see the example in Scripture, you can fuss with me all you want, you can call me all the names you want, and you can argue with me, but all I'm saying is, when you see the example in Scripture, it's a whole different image. The instruction here is to feed them. Now, one of the things that they're supposed to be fed is milk. But one of the things they're supposed to be fed is meat. Because we see that in here. Twice we see it. In Hebrews, you guys should be able to eat meat now. Why? So I can feed it to you. Meaning I have the meat and I can feed it to you. Same thing with Paul when he was writing there to the Corinthians. He said, you know what? I still can't give you guys meat. I've got it. It's cooked and ready to go. I can deliver it to you. I can feed it to you. But the only thing you guys are able to tolerate right now is milk. If he were to start giving them the meat, you know what would have happened there in Corinth? Even more division. They would have called him a liar. They would have called him a heretic. They would have called him all kinds of things. Because they weren't capable. They were in such a spiritual rut that they weren't capable of receiving the meat. And Paul says, we've got to start, I'm paraphrasing, we got to work with this milk and build you up from skim to 1%, to 2%, to whole milk, to half and half, to full cream. And then we're going to start throwing in a little bit of, you know, ground beef. And by the time we're done, we're going to have T-bone. Hallelujah. We got to take you from where you are to where you need to be. And it says here, feed the flock. Feed the flock. Feed the flock. You can't feed the flock the way the flock needs to be fed and the way God desires if you keep leading down the same path. Now, let's go a little bit further here. Look in Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. 23rd Psalm, shepherd's got a responsibility to give meat. Can I share something with you? This book you have in your hand, from Genesis chapter 1 all the way to the end, Revelation, there's meat in here. Okay? Meat. If you take part of it out and set it aside, because we don't believe that, you know what you're doing? It's like when you go to a smorgasbord, they get all this food laid out, and you're getting ready to, like, well, I'd like to have, you know, the chicken right there, the roasted chicken. And somebody grabs it and takes it away and says, no, roasted chicken's not for today. Yeah, but I want to eat that. No, you don't need to eat that. Trust me. That's not for today. This other stuff on the buffet is fine. Here we have cream spinach. Here we have skunk gizzards. You see what I'm saying? When God talks about feeding the flock of God, He's talking about feeding them the fullness of His Word. The fullness of it. In Proverbs chapter 3, in verse 5, it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Now, relative to the 23rd Psalm shepherd, he's supposed to go to the Lord and find out. Look at this. He shall direct thy path. The 23rd Psalm shepherd is supposed to go to the Lord and find out what path is supposed to be taken for the sheep. And it goes on to say, be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord and depart from evil. How could I be wise in my own eyes? By letting somebody other than God tell me what the people need to hear. Listen, you may not know this, but in denominations, some of them, I don't know that all do this, but in some denominations, every time there's a holiday, they send out your sermon material in a packet to you. And it's delivered to the church. And that's what you're supposed to teach. You know why that is? So that anybody who's a part of your denomination can go to any church that's a part of that denomination and know what they're going to hear. Here's one that may really mess some of you up. How many of you remember those things called quarterlies in your denomination? Okay? Do you know why they have those? Would you like to know? Yes, I'd like to know. Here's why they have quarterlies. It's so that if you are traveling and you're a part of that denomination, no matter what church you go to that's a part of that denomination, you may live in Maine, but on vacation in California, you find a church of the same denomination, go to that church, and you're going to know exactly what you're going to hear. Do you see what's happening? The denomination is telling the pastors what path to take the flock. Completely violating what we're reading right here in Proverbs. Please let that sink in. Please let that sink in. I want a pastor who's going to go to God to find out what path should we take. I want a pastor. Listen, the church in California, they may need a whole different path than what that quarterly says. Same thing with the church in Maine. See what I'm saying? But the denominations do this because the assumption is you can't do it for yourself. Translation that's blunt, you're too stupid to hear God. We'll hear God for you and tell you what path to take and what pasture to eat from. Now that's blunt, and I know it, but that's basically what it comes down to. But they're not going to tell you that because they don't understand it that way. And yet right here, for the 23rd Psalm shepherd, he's supposed to trust in the Lord with all his heart and not lean to his own understanding. I've shared with you before how that there have been sermons or series that if it was left up to me, I'd have taught a long time ago. But God doesn't leave it up to me. I go to him and ask him. And here a while back, I forget what series it was, but I shared with you how that God had released me to teach it, and it had been like a year or so, or 2 years, or something like that, that this thing's been, you know, on the back burner, waiting for God to release me to teach it. You have to trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean to your own understanding. One of the dumbest things you can do is ask a council in your church what you're supposed to preach. What do the people want to hear? What do they need to hear? You're asking people what they need to hear. They're going to tell you whatever they want to hear, man. You need to go to God and say, God, what do they need to hear? And God's going to say, are you sure you want me to answer that question? Are you prepared? In all your ways acknowledge him. And he shall direct thy paths. What does that mean? That means that the Lord is going to direct the path of the shepherd into the pasture that needs to be prepared to be served to the people. And if he doesn't do that, then what's going to happen? Well, you're just going to end up taking the sheep where they don't need to go. And I'm telling you right now, pastors who don't hear God, we all have the capacity to hear God. But pastors that don't hear God, you're going to end up in ruts. You're going to end up eating places where you don't need to eat. Look at another verse. Isaiah chapter 28. See, I want to again reiterate something. I'm not putting myself up on a platform and declaring myself to be the example of a pastor to every pastor in the world. I'm not doing that. What I'm sharing with you is what God is showing me from God, and you need to understand he's dealing with me before he ever releases this in these sermons. He's teaching me. He's leading me. He's guiding me. He's correcting me in the process. And just because I'm not walking at the fullness doesn't mean that God doesn't want this information delivered, doesn't want this teaching delivered. And here in Isaiah 28, we've looked at this passage in other teachings before, but in verse 9, this is God's standard, okay? Whom shall he teach? Who's the he? God. Whom shall God teach knowledge, and whom shall God make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. Relative to this teaching, and relative to the 23rd Psalm shepherd, this is how God teaches the shepherds. And this is how the shepherds are supposed to teach the people. Line upon line, precept upon precept. This is the standard for the body of Christ. This is a prophecy. Because when he talks here in 28:11, for with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, Paul quotes from this passage over in 1 Corinthians 14. This right here, what we're reading here in Isaiah 28, is a prophecy of praying in tongues. We've shared this before. And so what we're seeing here is that God's method of teaching, or God's method of feeding knowledge, feeding doctrine, is precept upon precept and line upon line. And he says here, with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. So, what are we seeing then? For the 23rd Psalm, shepherd, number one, God is going to teach this shepherd line upon line, precept upon precept. I've been in churches before where the pastors, at times it was hard to follow them, what they were saying. It was like they're all over the place. I've heard pastors that there didn't seem to be continuity in what they were saying. And that doesn't line up with what God says here. God's standard is that he will teach line upon line, precept upon precept. He will give to the shepherd doctrine and knowledge. And he'll do it line upon line, precept upon precept. This is what God wants to do to the shepherd. Then the shepherd turns around and delivers that in the same style to the people. Simple illustration. That's why in this series we're not starting with Psalm 23, verse 6. We started with verse 1, okay? And then it says, with stammering lips and another tongue will he, God, speak to this people, relative to this teaching. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he, God, speak to the shepherd. Here's a dividing line. Here it is. There's an expectation from God that the pastor, the shepherd, is going to spend time with these stammering lips and another tongue. That the shepherd is going to pray in tongues to receive the line upon line, precept upon precept, breakdown, explanation, and teaching from the Word of God so that he can turn around and give it to the people. Now, may I be so bold as to say, if we take this standard right here in God's Word that we've all just read, okay? If we take this and we realize that this is how God teaches and speaks to the shepherds. If a shepherd is not applying verse 11, praying in tongues, therefore, according to this standard right here, that God gave through the prophet Isaiah, should that pastor be pastoring? See, it's not my rule, guys. It's not my standard. It's not my, it's my standard because I've accepted it as my standard. But see, this scripture is going to be here permanently. I can't rewrite it. So therefore, if this is the standard, are you starting to understand more how, like in the past I've shared with you, that God has shown, I mean, he showed me how that there are so many churches out there he has never established and so many people pastoring churches that he's never called to pastor and never put them into pastorate. Or they're not ready to step into the pastorate. And it's not that he hates them or that they're bad people or that they're in sin or any of this other. It's because from his perspective, they're not ready. See this? And I know that people will disagree with me, and I know people will argue with me about this. That's why I say we have to keep going back here to this standard. Right here. This standard. And I'll just be honest with you. I don't feel like I pray in tongues enough. You say, well, how much is enough? I don't know. It's whatever God wants you to do. But you at least ought to be doing it. You at least ought to follow the pattern that he's given to you because he's telling you right here, this is how I'm going to teach you knowledge. This is how I'm going to help you come to the place of understanding doctrine. As a 23rd Psalm shepherd, God's saying, I need you to do this. This is how you and I are going to enter into a divine communication and a teaching process. Jesus made it clear that the Holy Spirit would lead us into all truth, teach us all things. Therefore, if I know that to be true, then I need to participate with the Holy Spirit in this kind of prayer as a shepherd so that the Holy Spirit can teach me and show me the way that I should go, the path I should take, and the paths that I should prepare, the pastors that are supposed to be prepared for the people so that I can lead the congregation in that direction. He'll show you the way you should go. This week, we're on this path. Next week, we're on that path. And for the next 6 months, we're going to be on this path, going into that pasture and feeding over there. Like this series. This series is a path of righteousness leading us into the pasture where we are dining. And the next series that comes up will be a different path. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 2. We'll expand this process here, or this understanding. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, here is what a 23rd Psalm shepherd is supposed to be doing. Verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, do you see this? I'm supposed to be studying to show myself approved unto God. All right? Now, basically, that eliminates me making my crutch my quarterly or my seasonal packet from headquarters. Now, listen, let me throw this in. You need to understand that all these denominations that do this, they honestly are trying their best to help their pastors and help their people. They're trying as best as they know how. They are not trying on purpose to lead people astray. They're not trying to hurt people. They're not trying to interfere in their walk with God. They're not trying to do any of this. They're trying to help. They're just doing it according to their own understanding. It isn't that they don't love God, man. They love Him. They'll lay their life down for Him. It's just that, you know, there are some things that need to be tweaked. Well, it says here to study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Now, look at this, rightly dividing the word of truth. The entire Bible, if you will, is the word of truth. Rightly dividing the word of truth, it's similar to what I've taught about in the past about when you meditate scripture. You find the beginning of the subject and the end of the subject, and you meditate on that passage. When I taught the book of Romans, the entire book of Romans became the subject matter. And I would read it. I'd sit down and read it from start to finish. I didn't get up until I had read the whole book of Romans, praying in the Spirit the whole time, over and over, day after day, before I was able to stand up. And I'm telling you, what happened in that is that the Holy Spirit began to show me some things in Romans I'd never understood before. And you can get the whole teaching, like 104 messages is what it came out to be. That's a lot. One minister saw that, and I mean, his eyes popped open. 104. I said, yeah. He said, I want that. Well, here I'm supposed to study to show myself approved. Rightly dividing the word of truth means it's not just a shotgun, scattergun approach to teaching. It's a methodical, line upon line, precept upon precept approach to studying Scripture. And in chapter 3, it says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means cover to cover. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. All Scripture is profitable for doctrine. All Scripture is profitable for reproof. All Scripture is profitable for correction. All Scripture is profitable for instruction in righteousness. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. All Scripture. That means I don't have the liberty to pull parts of it out and say I can't use it anymore because it doesn't apply to the body of Christ. Now, we know that the law has passed away. However, we also know that contained in the law are types and shadows that are clarified in the New Testament. All Scripture is given for these purposes. Why? So that, verse 17, the man of God may be perfect or spiritually mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Okay, now, as the 23rd Psalm shepherd, I can't do like some churches have done and basically ignore the Old Testament. And there are some denominations that don't, they just don't focus on the Old Testament. They say, well, it's not relevant anymore. But it is relevant. I need to be perfect, spiritually mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Okay, now look at this. If I don't consider all Scripture for the purposes revealed in verse 16, I cannot be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. See that? Okay, now, let's just go back to the thing of tongues. If I skip over, eliminate, and wish I could tear them out of everybody's Bible, the passages about speaking and praying in tongues, like 1 Corinthians 14, then what I'm doing is eliminating the fullness of my potential to be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I can't be thoroughly furnished if I start taking things out. Now, carry it a step further. If I'm not thoroughly furnished, or better put, if I'm not in the process of being thoroughly furnished, in other words, continuing to grow and mature, I cannot turn around and feed the flock of God that is among me the way God wants them fed. Because if I stand up and I say, part of what we need to be thoroughly furnished unto all good works no longer applies to us, then I have instructed the entire flock of 50 people, 100 people, 10,000 people to eliminate this from their spiritual growth. And yet it says right here, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. As a 23rd Psalm shepherd, I don't have the liberty to pick and choose what scripture applies to the body of Christ. It all applies in some way, somehow. We can learn lessons. Listen, I don't fully understand it yet, but somehow we can learn lessons from all those genealogies. You say, well, how do you figure that? They're in there because God knows we need them in there. If there wasn't something about them that could lead to our thoroughly furnishing, they wouldn't be in here. And all the stuff in there about how all the materials to build the temple or to build the tabernacle and, you know, all that stuff, it's like, what in the world? Why do I need to know this? There's a purpose for it. Or it wouldn't be in there. And you know, all the things that we wonder, how come that's not in there? It's not supposed to be. But boy, it sure would be nice to know. Well, maybe you'll know it when you get to heaven. But God knew we didn't need to know those things because they wouldn't help us to be thoroughly furnished the way He knows we need to be thoroughly furnished. But He did know that you have to, all the things about taking a hin of flour and mixing it with a cruse of oil and do, it's like, what in the world? Why is that so? There's a purpose for it. A while back I had a message and I shared with you how that God revealed to me there are things contained in the Old Testament that have yet to be unlocked and revealed to us, and that the understanding of those things was going to increase the closer we get to the return of the Lord. Remember that? I believe, now based on what I'm saying here in the Word of God, I believe that we're going to come to an understanding about some of these things about the genealogies we've never known before. And we're going to come to an understanding about all these different building materials and so forth, things we haven't known before. It's going to come to pass, or come to our knowledge and so forth. But anyway, we have these instructions here from God, what we're supposed to do as a 23rd Psalm shepherd. Now, let's talk about what these paths of righteousness. He says, He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Well, as a shepherd, I'm supposed to lead you in the paths of righteousness for the name of Jesus' sake. You understand what I mean? Now, let's look at this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. There's a lot that we could look in this concerning righteousness, and I could see myself, I actually took a step in the direction of turning this teaching into a sub-series on righteousness. And I had to rein myself in because I could feel myself getting off track. No, this is not a series on righteousness. This is a series on the 23rd Psalm, Shepherd. We can do another series on righteousness later on if that's what the Lord wants. So that's why this is not going to be an in-depth teaching on righteousness, all right? But in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, it says, "For He, God, hath made Him, Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." One of the things that a 23rd Psalm shepherd is going to do, he's going to stand up and he is going to declare to the people that you are righteous. You're not just an old sinner holding on to the grace of God to carry you to heaven. And yet you've got churches that are going to tell you that you're not righteous. Then you've got churches where the shepherds will stand up and, now get this, the shepherd will stand up and in his attempt to help the people know God better will tell them that they still have a sin nature. And yet it says right here that we've been made the righteousness of God. This literally means you were created out of righteousness. You're made the righteousness of God. I can't have that same sin nature I was born with in this before I accepted Jesus and be the righteousness of God at the same time. It can't happen. It's impossible. But a 23rd Psalm shepherd will understand this and then turn around and explain it to the people. Doesn't mean everybody's going to agree or accept, but I mean, that's what he'll do. Look over in Ephesians chapter 4. And in verse 24, well, actually, now just verse 24. It says, and that you put on the new man, meaning that you live according to the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now, I've shared this before, that this gives the image of when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, God reaches on the inside of him and he gets a handful of righteousness and a handful of holiness, his holiness. He pulls it right out of himself and he mixes it all together and creates you. You're created in righteousness and true holiness. Meaning you were not created in sin, you were not created in a sin nature, you were not created with rebellion, you were not, everything about your born again spirit, everything about it, everything. You are righteous and you are holy. If I'm going to lead you into paths of righteousness for His name's sake, this is what I will teach you. Now, listen, when I've shared this before, when I first started, we had a series on this a while back, and I'm teaching on this, I could see some people, their eyeballs started, twirling, like, what? I'm righteous? I've never heard this before. What do you mean? I'm created in holiness. What? And I began to explain what this literally was saying to us. There were people challenged. In fact, today there are some people kind of, wonder what about this? But this is what it says. Your argument's not with me. Your Bible should be saying the same thing I'm saying, unless somebody's ripped that verse out. You're created in righteousness and true holiness. Okay, if I'm going to lead you down this path of righteousness for His name's sake, what I'm going to do is help you understand that you were created. The moment that you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, God created you, the new man. Created you, new creature. Created you in righteousness and true holiness. That's what you're created. You're not anything. I shared, I think it was Wednesday night. You're not going to get God to agree with you on anything but what He has said about you. And when you go to God and you say, oh God, I'm just a sinner, He's going to look at you and say, I disagree with you. He's going to say, no, you accepted my Son Jesus Christ, His blood washed away your sin, you have a new life, a new spirit on the inside of you, created in righteousness and true holiness. You're not just a stinky sinner, you're my righteousness. Why are you calling my righteousness sin? And this is what's in here. Well, let's look at another place here, 1 Timothy chapter 6. And if you look here in verse 11, it says, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. So here I am, the 23rd Psalm shepherd. And he says, I'm supposed to follow after righteousness. So he's leading me in the paths of righteousness. I'm supposed to follow after righteousness. And as the 23rd Psalm shepherd, it's my responsibility to study to show myself approved. It's my responsibility to not lean to my own understanding, but to lean to His understanding, His instruction, His guidance, and let Him lead me in the paths of righteousness. Now, let me just give a kind of a simple illustration here, okay? I'm the 23rd Psalm shepherd, and I go before God, and I say, okay, what do you want me to teach the people? And He says, all right, starting on Sunday, what I want you to do is take them down the path of the blood covenant. Now, this is going to be a long path and a very large pasture. Translation, it's going to be a series that's going to take 3 or 4 months to teach. See this? Okay. Well, Father, I sense that, this coming Sunday is going to be the last Sunday in this series on the blood covenant, meaning we're finished grazing in this pasture. Now, what do you want me to teach? What do you want me to do? He says, okay, then what we're going to do, I'm going to lead you down a path, and you're going to lead the people down this other path of righteousness to understand about how that they are not bound by generational curses. Now, Father, are you sure you want me to teach that? There's a lot of people be upset. He says, I know that. Don't worry about it. You're used to it by now. So, Father, okay, we're finished with that one. Are you seeing what I'm getting at? I'm telling you right now, any church with a pastor does not lead the people down paths, translation, series of teaching, Either that pastor's not called, that pastor's not ready to step into that calling, or that pastor is missing God big time. You cannot do it any other way. You can't. That's one of the reasons why it's hard for me to go into other churches and minister, because of the way that God ministers through me and what He gives me. And again, you know, I'm not the epitome of the 23rd Psalm shepherd, but I'm learning. But what I'm saying is, when you see this line upon line, precept upon precept, you just can't preach one sermon on blood covenant and that be the sum total. You can't preach one sermon on healing and that be the sum total. You can't preach one sermon on generational curses or on and on and on. You know, just take a look out there. You can't just hit something one time. If God's wanting to lead you down a path into a pasture that's filled with the kind of grasses that we need to eat. You see this? Now, what happens when you're on the path of righteousness? What are you going to find on the paths of righteousness? What the 23rd Psalm shepherd, he's going to be the first one to find it. I mean, in the illustration here and all this, he's going to be the first one to find it, and then the people are going to find it with him. What are you going to find on the paths of righteousness? What are you going to find in the pastures of righteousness? Number one, here's what you're going to find. Everything Christ is to you. Well, He's my Savior. Yeah, but He's more than that. He's my Lord, but He's more than that. In fact, do you even know what Savior means? What has He saved you from? Everything Christ is to you. Number one, that's one thing you're going to find on the paths of righteousness and in the pastures of righteousness. And remember, this is all for His name's sake. Number two, you're also going to find everything you are in Christ. I'm the righteousness of God. I'm justified. I'm sanctified. I'm redeemed. I'm, you know, a joint heir. I'm just on and on the list goes. Everything you are in Christ. That's what you're going to find on the paths of righteousness and in the pastures of righteousness. Number three, you're going to find everything you have in Christ. Everything you have in Christ. This is what you're going to find. Well, I get to go to heaven. Yeah. But do you understand that going to heaven is the last thing you're going to experience on this earth? So if that's all you have in Christ, I mean, aren't you kind of missing a lot in between now and then? So you're going to find everything that you have in Christ. Everything. Doesn't matter. Call it healing, call it deliverance, call it peace, call it joy. I don't care. Whatever you have in Christ, you're going to discover everything you have in Christ. And number four, on the paths of righteousness and in the pastures of righteousness, you are going to discover what born again really means. You're going to discover what born again really means. How many of you are familiar with Pastor Dave Roberson's teachings on the born again trail? Do you understand the born again trail is a variation on the theme of the paths of righteousness? If you listen to that series, it'll take you down different paths. It will take you into different pastures. But when the 23rd Psalm shepherd is doing what he's supposed to do, he's going to be discovering everything Christ is to him, everything he is in Christ, everything he has in Christ, and what born again really means. And he'll be able to feast in those pastures and then turn around and begin to share this with the people, and he'll be able to lead them down the paths of righteousness. Another way to think of these paths of righteousness would be all of the scriptures, the line upon line, precept upon precept scriptures that lead us step by step into that pasture, into that place of grazing. If a 23rd Psalm shepherd's not doing these things, it doesn't mean that God doesn't love him, but it means he needs to reevaluate what's going on. And I know that this will be a challenge for a lot of people, but yet, how are you going to get away from what God has said in His Word? And see, you need to understand that what I'm sharing with you, every bit of this applies to me, and this is what God expects of me. You know where it talks about to whom much is given? Much is expected. Much is required. The very fact that I'm standing up here teaching this calls me to a higher level of accountability. And you want to be a pastor? Ultimately, if I am following my shepherd, Jesus, it's like Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, follow me as I follow Christ. Follow me as Christ leads me into the paths of righteousness.